Tonight, I want to talk to you, preach to you, teach you from the Word of God on the blood. That's the title, the blood. The book of Leviticus, chapter number 17 and verse number 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you, O God, for enabling grace, for conviction, for blessing, for the anointing and the singing tonight, and for everything up to this point. And now, Father, stand by me. Holy Ghost, overshadow us tonight with the canopy of your glory. God, touch these lips of clay. Give me a vocabulary that comes from the unction of the Holy Ghost, and I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And the congregation said, amen. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And again we say, amen. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I will say to you in the very beginning tonight, that any religion which fails to give proper place to the blood is a false religion and is of the devil. It is the way of Cain. Amen. Anybody that tries to bring you any a doctrine of salvation that bypasses or fails to emphasize or to exalt or to give the proper place, its proper place in the blood, is a false religion. From like a mighty red river, the blood commences to flow in Genesis, and it runs all the way through the book of Revelation. Someone has said it's a scarlet thread that binds the entire doctrine of redemption together. Check on the phone. When I got to studying this and thinking about this, Brother Combs and I were discussing it. Somewhere among us, shortly after the doctrine of the oneness folk got among us and sought to, and in a small measure did, split the movement. There was a compromise doctrine that also came among us. And for a long, long time it found no preeminence at all. But in the latter years, it has found more of a place, especially among us free wholeness folk, than even this doctrine of Jesus only did. And for lack of a better word, it's become known among us as Holy Ghost or nothing. Now, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to say with Paul, I thank God that I probably speak in tongues more than you all. I pray in the Holy Ghost sometimes for long extended periods of time. But the Holy Ghost is not the Savior. And when folk begin to emphasize the baptism of the Holy Ghost above repentance and above redemption and above the blood, they pass from being a brother and they enter into false doctrine. In the very early beginning, God told us that it was the blood, and the blood upon the altar was the atonement. And the word atonement means to make at one those who were separated. Amen. Now, I'm not out to shoot you down. I'm not out to shoot your doctrine down. But the God of glory, and incidentally, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will testify of me. He will not speak of Himself. He will testify of me. When you begin to emphasize anything above the blood, you are heading out on a tangent that will bring you destruction in the end. Mark it down, folks. Those churches who have been ruled in this doctrine are continually in an uproar. They're fussing and they're fighting. But the Bible said where confusion was, there was ever evil work. Amen. Oh, it's tight but right and bond tonight. Amen. Return to the book of John, chapter number 8 and verse number 56. When I began studying this, I saw something I'd never seen this before. And I liked it. And I want you to listen to it. St. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse number 56 says,
"Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day."
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
And he saw it.
And he saw it.
And was glad.
And he was glad. Now Jesus is talking to the Jews who claim that they have their father as Abraham, and they're rejecting Him as the Messiah. They're rejecting Him as the Lamb of God. And He's saying to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And I looked at this and I thought, now Lord, when was it? At what point was it that Abraham realized the significance of the blood of Jesus Christ? And I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think that he saw it on the mountain on that day in Genesis chapter number 22 when God had spoken to him and said, now Abraham, take Isaac. Take your only son Isaac and take him upon the mountain that I shall show you and offer him there as a burnt offering. You know the story. I don't know how he wrestled through the night. I don't know what went through his mind. But I know when the morning come, he summons the servants and they loaded the instruments of sacrifice. And he said to his wife, we're going. As they marched up the mountain, see this son, saying, Father, here is the wood, and here is the fire, and there is the sacrificial knife. But Father, where is the lamb? When you want to judge any work, when you want to judge any movement, ask them the question, but where is the lamb? You know how he took him up there, placed the wood on the altar, picked his son up, laid him on the altar, and bound him fast, and grabbed that big curved knife, pulled his head back, and made to slit his throat, and his blood gush out. When the voice of heaven spoke, stay your hand, do the child no harm. And Abraham looked over into the thicket, and there he saw the ram caught by its horns. I believe that was when he first realized that there was going to be a substitution, that there was going to be some bloodshed. You see, in the book of Exodus, when God got ready to take his people out of Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world. And even the worldliest commentator will tell you that. When he got ready to take them out, turn back to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. When he got ready to take his people out of Egypt, there was something that he did that night that was very significant. In that 12th chapter, Brother Rick, I just start on verse 1 and read that.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of birth.
Hold it. He said now, something new is about to take place. I know you counted the calendar. I know you marked it off as January and February and March and 19 and this and 19 and that. But he said there's going to be a difference now. They're going to be like, I want you to notice that. That's very important. I saw that this week too. When he put them under the blood covenant, he told them, he said, now start counting time from right here. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, my friend. Amen. But I can tell you tonight, I can take you to the place when the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for sanctification. Thank God for holy living. But better thank God on September 3rd of 1970, about 4:30 in the afternoon, down by Long Point Pond Rockers. Amen. God said, difference. Reckon your time from here. You see, if you get born twice, you shall die once. Therefore, count this time from when the blood is applied. Read on, brother.
Shall be the first month of the year
to you. It's
going to
be a new time.
Speaking unto all the congregation of Israel.
Yes. Saying,
in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month.
The 14th day of the first month. The Jews called it the month Nisan. The Julian calendar said it was April. But on April the 14th, in the dark of the night, Judas led a band of soldiers and rebel raisers into the Garden of Gethsemane and shut up the master and led him away to Pilate's house. And on the 15th day of the blood month of Nisan, Jesus Christ, amen, became the Lamb of God. Amen. Sit down, Rick, and we'll take it a fall longer. You see, God said, you're going under a blood covenant. You're going to take this lamb, and you're going to take his blood. You're going to take the blood in a bowl, and take a bunch of hyssop, and take that blood, and smite over the door, over the lintel of the door, and over the doorpost on both sides. And in the night time, you shall stand there, and feed upon the lamb behind the blood. Amen. I'm preaching tonight that the blood was given to you for an atonement. Amen. Hang on now. If you ever need forgiveness of sins, if you have ever need justification, if you have ever need the help from God, I'm here to tell you tonight that the blood is the answer. You see, he told them to apply the blood and feed on the lamb. And in the midnight hour, from the smallest servant and slave in Egypt until Pharaoh's mansion, the death angel will pass by. Now just suppose that it could happen. Just suppose that one Israelite, one Jewish man, got busy and didn't think it important. And as the day wore on, he hadn't took the blood. Or just suppose that he did, but his little boy had been standing in that congregation, and he had heard what Moses said. He had heard that Moses said, in the midnight hour, the death angel is coming by, and every every house that is not covered by the blood, the firstborn in that house is going to die. And this firstborn son laid down and tried to sleep, but something couldn't let him sleep, maybe. And he'd say, Daddy, are you sure the blood's over the door? Yes, sir, son, I put it over the door. Daddy, are you sure? And finally, after a while, he picks him up and carries him out there. And he looked at the blood over the lintel and the blood on the doorpost. He said, yep, the blood's there. We'll be all right. Let's go on over to Pharaoh's house, there before his royal quarters, where his family is at, and the crown prince sleeps in his chamber, walks up the mightiest guards of the Roman empire, those trained to defend and die. Clink, clink goes the armor as he walks from side to side, and they're guarding the door. But suddenly, as they're guarding the door, a chill wind blows by them, and their blood seems to run cold in his veins. And suddenly from the innermost chamber comes a scream, and death visits where there's no blood. My friend, can I tell you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I may have failed to preach it, but I'm going to preach it on your own. My God, man, preach the blood. If you can't find nothing else to preach, preach the blood. In the book of Exodus, again, in the 29th chapter and the 16th verse, it tells us how that the priest is to take the blood and to sprinkle it around the base of the altar. Do you know why? Because the only way that a sinful man can come to the altar is if the altar has been sprinkled by the blood. The altar is a place of death. The altar is a place of judgment. The altar is a place... Oh, folks, you know what? They used to pray, kill him, Lord. Kill him. When you got on the altar, them old men say, oh, God, don't let him up and he dies out. Kill him, Lord. Amen. The altar is a place of death. And the only hope you got of coming to the altar is bringing the blood. Amen. Claiming the blood. Nothing in my hand I bring. That's simply the cross I clean. Blood. Oh, help me preach tonight. Amen. In the book of Leviticus, the order that the priest might minister before the Lord, Aaron, stand up here, read about that. Aaron took the minister, and he took the blood, and he took that blood and he put it up on the tip of his right ear. You know why? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about folks having ears to hear and not a hearing. Until the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, is applied to your hearing, the gospel don't mean anything. It don't make any sense at all. It seems to be a contradictory book. And Sister Carol told me, so they're saying, teachers here, address that sometime. You know why you can't talk to them folk? Because the blood ain't never been touched on their ear. They've never heard what the Spirit says to the church. And without the blood, amen, being applied, he can't preach. And then he said, put the blood on his thumb. Somebody said to me about a certain man, said, man, he's a good man. He visits hospitals. He does this and that and the other. He gives of his time and his money to help the poor. Surely that man will go to heaven. But I must tell you that work that has not been blood bought and blood washed is filthy rags in the eyes of God. Amen. Until you've had that blood applied, your work will be in vain. You can't work for God. You're not working for God. Could I tell you one of the sorriest reasons in the world to be a preacher is to want to help mankind? Don't misunderstand me. The sorriest reason that I can have for going into the ministry is because I want to be a help to mankind. You see, the only reason that a man ought to go into the ministry and open that back book and preach is because there's a wall come upon his soul somewhere. But the Bible said no man takes this honor upon himself, save he who was called as Aaron was called. He who had his ear anointed, his hand anointed, and his big toe anointed with the blood. Amen. Could I tell you, you can't walk right, and you can't live right, and you can't stand right until the blood has anointed you a walk. Our preaching done died on the blood. It is the blood. There's no way that you can understand. My sister used to read the Bible, and she'd say to me, "John, it don't make no sense. Explain to me. This scripture says this, and this says this. Will you explain that to me? You're a preacher." And I'd look at her and say, "Sis, God bless your heart. I can't explain that to you. You know why I can't? Because you ain't saved. You ain't been born again. And the carnal mind cannot comprehend nor understand the things of God. He cannot obey the scripture. He can understand the scripture until you've had that ear anointed, until you've had that hand quickened, until you've had those feet baptized in the blood." Amen. And you know what? If you find yourself wanting to wonder, if you find yourself on the drawback, if you find yourself not wanting to understand, you might want to go back to the altar and get the blood applied again. Hey, man. Oh, glory to God. We got a long ways to go. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That whosoever. One fella had a hard time believing he was saved. He had a hard time believing the blood was applied. And somebody told him, said, when you read this scripture, say it like this: "For God so loved John Gilbert that he gave his only begotten Son, that if John Gilbert would believe, he would not be lost." All you've got to do is say, "Whosoever meaneth me." Amen. You know why I say it that way? He wanted you to know that anybody would come. What? "For God so loved the world that he gave. And whosoever meaneth me." When John the Baptist was a baptizing, I want you to notice something you ain't never noticed before, maybe. You know, it's untelling how many thousands and hundreds of thousands of lambs were slain. But every one of them, though they sacrificed 1,000 in a day, the lambs were referred to by the priest as the Lamb. The Lamb. And that morning, when John the Baptist was baptizing out yonder in the Jordan River, when somewhere over yonder in the carpenter shop at Nazareth, a word began to come, there's a wild man a-preaching. There's a man a-preaching repentance. There's a man that said there's one among us. And that little old carpenter there that was hammering on that chair and making that table, hey man, one day looked up, laid his carpenter tools down, took his carpenter apron off, dusted the sawdust off of him, kissed his mama goodbye, and said, "I'm a-going down. Where you going, Jesus? I'm a-going yonder. I'm a-going yonder." And down the road he went, out to the country he went, out yonder he came, and as John was out there baptizing and preaching, all of a sudden up yonder he looks up, and yonder comes an ordinary looking man maybe, but oh, more than a man certainly. But John stops what he's doing, and the crowd parts as he looks wild, Lord, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I want you to know tonight, I'm going to preach to you, the blood plus nothing saves you. The blood plus nothing makes you a child of God. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen. Amen.
did I tell you that on Calvary's cross, somewhere after the darkness, he picks up that bruised and crown thorn head, with a last effort straightens those slumped shoulders and pushes down on those broken feet and gathers lungs full of air for the last time. And you know what he said? He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he said, "It is finished." And at that very moment, yonder in the temple down in Jerusalem, the old high priest had slayed the lamb and was carrying the blood toward that big curtain that 16s of oxen couldn't tear. Amen. But all of a sudden, from the top, not at the bottom, up from the top down, that curtain was rent asunder. It fell aside, and there was nothing inside anymore. Amen. You know why? Because it is finished. The devil will tell you, you ain't going to make it. You can't be saved. You can't get through it. I'm telling you, the way is already made. The price has already been paid. The blood has already been shed. Hey, hey, hey! My God, tonight. First Peter 1, verse 18, Rick. Turn there. That's going to tell us. If you ain't figured it out yet, I'm a preaching to you that anything that does not emphasize the blood will not save you. If you even for drink that had drove me all of my life was gone. I had no more craving for it. It had been from September. It had been from Christmas of 69. From the Christmas holidays in 69 until the third day of September 1970. As far as I know, I must have drank every day. I don't think a day went by that I didn't go to bed half drunk that night and get up the next morning and start all over again. Oh, yes, I was an alcoholic. When that stuff started going out of me, something got a hold of me. Hey, man, I want you to know at times I would have literally choked my mama for a dollar to buy me a drink as good as I loved her. There's times I've crawled up the stairs, stumble bumming drunk. Mama standing there crying over me. Now I think I'll not do this anymore. But there was something inside of me, a driving me, a craving stronger than I was. And I had to have it. But I want you to know, hey man, as the blood was dripping down off the cross and on the ground, one drop touched me that night. The burden of sin rolled away. I got up shouting glory. And now I'm one of them too. And the thirst left me because I took a drink from the waters of life. I'm glad that on the fourth night of September
in a little Pentecostal church, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. It granted me the power to live where I live for a while. But the blood saved me. The most precious thing in this world, my friend, is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing He left here. His body's back yonder, but His blood that flowed down from Calvary, splitting to come a twin stream that's flowing from Calvary to the whole world for the healing of the body and the salvation of the soul. And if you can get in that stream, it'll wash every one of your sins away. It'll put the fire out. What did Peter say in 1 Peter, verse number 18? Verse 1. You are not redeemed
with corruptible
things.
Silver
couldn't do it. Coal couldn't buy it. But
from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious
blood
of Christ,
as of a lamb
without blemish
without spot. The devil said you ain't saved. No, you didn't get nothing. There ain't nothing to this. I want you to know gold couldn't buy it. Silver couldn't do it. But the precious blood of the Lamb of God slain did it. I've been redeemed. Oh, God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. Get that, Rick, and go to reading and read there. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What could pay my price? Nothing. The devil hates this. He knows if you get a hold of this, ain't nothing can stop you. If you realize that as long as you stay behind the blood, the devil can't get you. In order for the devil to come in and get you and drag you off, he'd have to go through the blood. And if he went through the blood, he'd be saved, just like you was. And he wouldn't be a devil no more, he'd be your brother. It's only when you get outside the blood. It's only when you get left. That's why false doctrine's so dangerous. That's why if he can get you caught up on something else, then you forget to stay under the blood when the death angel passes by, that you're destroyed. But brother, if you plead the blood when the devil comes at you, when he tries to destroy you and lead you away, if you will stand up and say, God, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I promise you, you'll never backslide and commit whoredom of pleading the blood. You'll never desecrate your holy vow of pleading the blood.
Amen.
Romans 5, verse number 3. Read through verse number 9, Rick.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope
for when we were yet without strength. Anybody tells you, I've done so and so, I've heard folks testify, I promised the Lord, if He'd save me, I'd do so and so, and He did. If He did, it wasn't because you promised Him. Amen. You didn't do one thing. Not one thing. You came to an altar covered with blood. You came to the altar pleading the blood. And it was the blood. Read on.
In due time,
Christ died for the ungodly.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
Yes.
Yet peradventure for a good man,
some would even dare to die.
But God commended His love
toward us. Come on.
In that, while we were yet sinners,
Christ more than
being now justified by His blood.
Being now justified by our holy living. Being now justified by our dress code. Being now justified because we come to Bond Church. Being now justified because we are such good folk. Being now justified because we are an upstanding citizen of the community. Being now justified by what? By what?
His blood.
Being justified by what?
His blood.
His blood. Being justified by His blood. Do you know what justification means? Do you know what justification means? Justification means just as if it never happened. You ain't hearing me. Some of you are still fighting things you done in sin. And you're wondering if you'll really be forgiven when you get there. But could I tell you, the devil may hound you while you're here. And the people around you will never let you forget what you've done. But in heaven, where it really counts, it is just as if you never sinned. Amen. Because the blood was applied to my heart, when God looks on me, He sees me as Jesus. Just as if I had never sinned. Being justified by His blood. Oh, the devil comes around. But you can say, yeah, devil, you remember it. And I remember it. And a few folks remember it. But thank God one day when I stand before Him and the books is open, the page that the recording angel wrote it down on, He'll say, here's His name at the top. There's a whole bunch of things on this page here. But I can't read a one of them. You know why? Because somebody spilt the blood on them. Amen. The middle wall, a petition torn down, and the handwritten of ordinances are against me way out. My God, folk. Don't you hear what I'm saying to you tonight? My God, you're in the blood. Revelation 4 and 5 said unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood. Washed us. Philip told me, he said, I slept in the yard of a man who had killed at least 15 and maybe 33 men in Edom. He was a cannibal. A cannibal. But somebody got to him with the gospel. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached to him. And the blood went over him and through him. And he said, I slept like a baby in his front yard because the blood had washed away his sin. Thank God for the blood. Listen, my friends. If the blood does not save a man, then all the old hymns don't mean anything. Everybody knows what kind of a man that William Cowper was. Everybody knows, hey, they've read his story. how sorry and low down and wretched and vile and mean he was. How he would steal the little slippers off his dead baby's feet. That starved to death from neglect while he drank and took those little slippers out and would swap them to another bottle of wine. My friends, passing by a little old church one night, he heard them singing the songs of Zion and stumbled into that old-fashioned altar, and this stinking, vile, wretch, stumble bum of a drunk fell down on an old-fashioned altar, and the blood poured through him, and he got up and said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. If the blood don't save, tear that now and throw it away. And oh, what's the use of saying, Rock of Ages, cleave upon me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from his wounded side that flowed be for sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. If the blood can't save you, rip the Rock of Ages out and throw it away. Amen. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Oh, my friends, it's because the blood flows from Genesis to Revelations that we know. One old preacher man lay a dying. 50 years he'd preached the gospel. And as he lay a dying, he called for him to bring him his Bible. "Bring me my Bible," he said. And they brought him his Bible, and with a trembling finger, he took his old hand and laid his finger on the verse that said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." He looked up and said, "I die in the hope of this verse. Not 50 years of preaching, but in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm a trusting, I'm a changing over, a trusting in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But the blood can. The blood. The blood." My text said to us tonight, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I plead the blood. In the beginning, I prayed like a preacher when I thought Ann was a dying Bobby. In the beginning, I prayed like Hezekiah prayed when he thought he was a dying. "God, I preached the Bible. God, I've stood for the truth. God, I've been a righteous man. God, I've been holy. I prayed like a righteous man. But I want you to know, after a while, I got to the place that I quit praying like anything but a sinner, saved by grace. Amen. I quit claiming this and that and the other. And I said, God, if you don't help us, we're destroyed. Oh, God, if you don't come by, we're going down. All I can do, God, is plead the blood over this matter. I don't have a hand, I don't know how to pray, but I can plead the blood. If the blood comes down, if the blood touches you, it'll be all right. Amen. And after a while, I begin to realize that's all that matters. The precious blood. You are blood bought. And you are blood washed. And we need tonight. I feel like that you are so tossed and sometimes so driven and unstable in your mind because you forget that that was a transaction, that the blood of Jesus Christ, the death angel is a passing, but as long as you'll stay in the house under the blood feeding on the Lamb, amen, you'll be all right. You'll be safe. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The only thing I want to show Him on that day is the blood. Amen. When I come before Him, I want to come before Him blood covered. Amen. I don't want to come before Him tell Him how many good things I've done, how many men I've won. I want to come first of all with the blood. Amen. When I go before Him, when you go, that's why the Bible said when you pray, that's why He told us to come to God in the name of Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are saying on the merit of what He did. On the merit of His blood. Now, if we will walk in the light as He is in the light, we shall have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son. And the blood will cleanse us. Continually cleanse us from all iniquity. Amen. I plead the blood. Oh God, I plead the blood. When I get stirred up like I got stirred up this evening and took me a fit in here, if somebody had parked outside, they'd have thought we were having camp meeting with 50 people in here. I mean, but you know what caused it? When I see the holiness of God, when I realize how close the coming of the Lord is, when I look at my own heart, David Blaine, when I think of the thoughts I've thought, I can just say, God, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Let the blood cover me. Let the blood cleanse me. Keep me under the blood. And it seemed like I could feel the blood. Amen. And I took me a spell knowing the devil can't cross the bloodline. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. If he can get you out and under it, I'm going to be like the old preacher. What are you trusting in tonight? As he lay it down, he put his finger on it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. One woman looked up and she said, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know. I don't deserve. I said, sis, if we deserved it, we'd all go to hell right now. Amen. You're sitting here tonight, if you've been saved 50 years, it ain't bought you one inch of eternity. Amen. You are saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ, His precious Son. Amen. And if you, my God, if you just realize, I'm coming. I said, sis, don't come on your merits. Somebody said, I'll tell you what I want to do, preacher. I'm going to straighten up now. I'm going to quit a few things, and then I'm going to come to church. It won't work that way. You don't straighten up a few things. You quit a few things. Amen. If I waited, I'd try. I don't know how many times I tried to quit. Oh, I've seen them in the house history. Lynn and Don were such dear friends of ours in those early years when me and Ann were going together and then married those first years. I don't know how many times it. He'd meet us, and I've told you that before, but he was my friend. He'd meet us and somewhere, and he'd come and stick his old head in there and lean over and say, how's my girl? And when he left, I'd say, what did he leave us this time? And that'd be money. I want you to know $20 was big money a few years ago. But, oh, I was talking to Lena yesterday. She was telling me about it. I had forgotten about it. I gave him a date Bible. Told him to read it. It'd help him. I said, follow those scriptures. And she said, I turned him through the other day, and there was all the places he'd marked, the little notes he'd made, his own handwriting. And tears welled up in her old eyes. But I thought, you know, Dom was a stumble bum of a drunk, good hearted as he could be, but he's an alcoholic. He made money like hand over fist, but he was an alcoholic. He's like Naaman. Naaman was a mighty warrior, but he was a leper. Don had a disease he couldn't cure. Twice, two different times, they picked him up, bound him up, and carried him off down to Lexington and put him through that program they call the sweat cure. Dried him out. And both times before he got back home, he had a fifth of liquor. Ah, but I heard him tell it, how he stumbled by the front door of the old church out at Seven Pines. That little old boy preaching didn't have a third grade education, couldn't hardly read. He was a preaching, and Don stumbled by the door and peeked inside. And he said, I felt something reach out and get a hold of me. And he said, I thought to myself, Lord, if you'll let me feel this tomorrow night at Evans Chapel, I'll be in a shape that I can go inside. I'll have me some clothes on. I'll go inside. And the next night, amen, as the Spirit of God reached out for him, he come falling down to the altar. And in less than 5 minutes, the blood of Jesus Christ did what all science couldn't do and sweat cure couldn't do. He said, I felt that craving leave me, and I never craved it anymore. Amen. What can do it? The blood. The blood. Oh, the power of the blood. There is power. Power. Wonder working power in the blood. My God, tonight. Folks, let's pick up the old bloodstained banner again. Let's hold up the old bloody cross again. And let's reach out to this world. I thought, my God, all these people that are so lost around us, all they need is a dip of the altar. Amen. A covering of the blood. Oh, I told the Lord today, God, if we could get the blood to that sinner woman, if we could get the blood to that prostitute and make her a wholeness mama, and make that bootlegger bust up all of his booze, make that murderer throw away his gun. Amen. It'll put the fire out. It'll put the fire out. It'll put the fire out. Nothing else will. It'll put the fire out. Get the blood tonight. Holy Koriba Bakashakaranda Bohrikamabaya. Holy Koramaha Shakarianda Bhotakaya. Oh, the blood. The blood. The precious blood. Let's stand tonight. Amen. 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 How long has it been since you just come down to the altar and throw your hands up and said, I just plead the blood? Amen. Sing the song, children. The altars are open tonight.